I'm speaking with Pam Johnson, president of the National Corn Growers Association, with members in Washington, D.C. this week. Pam, first of all, why don't you tell us about I'm sure you're talking to a lot of our legislators up there. What are some of the things you're discussing?
Sure. Well, we had our Congress session this morning and had a great speech from Secretary Vilsack. I gave him the NCGA President's Award this year for his advocacy for agriculture. And I tell you, we were pumped up before to go to the Hill, but we really are now. And so our charge today is to hold especially the House accountable for what are the next step forward in the path to getting a five-year comprehensive farm bill passed. And that's going to be our number one priority as we hit the Hill this afternoon. And secondly, it'll be the RFS. And the question our members will be asking the legislators are, do you support the RFS in its form, yes or no? And we want an answer.
Well, of course, it was kind of interesting what happened last week in the House with the farm bill split. What are you hearing? What did Secretary Vilsack have to say about that? And what are you hearing about what is going to happen now that the bill has gone over to the Senate and it is going to be going into conference?
Well, you know, we're still hopeful. And I think a piece of that is just making sure that we get answers to the questions today as we go up there, because we all know we're getting very close to deadlines again, as we have been last year. And so there's 21 days left to act. So it's very important that we see some progress being made and it just doesn't stop where it is now. So we want to know when the conferees will be named and what are the next steps to get this to over the finish line.
Well, as far as the RFS is concerned, yesterday we saw a hearing in the Senate Energy Committee, where basically oil industry representatives kind of blamed the RFS for the increase in gas prices, which we're seeing once again. What was your reaction to that?
Well, I can't really say what my reaction is to that online, but I will say that we disagree. And the price of gasoline continues to go up, and we know there's unrest in the Middle East. And, you know, I come... In my neighborhood right now, there is a gas station which has the lowest price of gasoline in the United States, and it's E85, and the price is $2.24 a gallon. So what I want to see is not just in my neighborhood, but giving consumers like me the chance to buy cheaper gas because it's blended with renewable fuels at the blends it is now and at higher blends, and giving them the option at the pump to choose, not letting the oil industry choose whether they get to use that fuel or not.
Any other issues that you're talking about, transportation or environmental issues, anything regarding regulatory issues with EPA?
We will also be talking about WERDA again and again and again, that, you know, we need those investments made in our infrastructure now as we're looking forward to shipping more products. We're going to be raising more corn. We need an infrastructure that not only roads but also these locks and dams to get them fixed. So we're going to talk about that. So finding new sources. The private industry has agreed that they want to step up to the plate and the partnership to help pay for those, and we keep getting pushed back that, you know, I was sent here to have no new taxes. That line can only go so far when you say, well, it is private industry that's willing to step up to the plate to help fund this, because it's important not just to farmers but to our country to have a good infrastructure here to move products up and down our waterways and roads.
Getting back to giving Secretary Vilsack the President's Award, talk a little bit more about that and why you think he's an important person to give that award to.
Well, it was an easy choice for me to give the Secretary the award this year because he has been a tireless voice to remind, you know, as farmers, we're only 1% of the population. He has been a tireless voice to tell the story to the other 99% of people in the United States about why agriculture is important to them, even though they don't know a farmer. And secondly, he's called those of us who do farm to step up to the plate and tell our story so that we can not only get bills passed in Congress, but we can explain why we are relevant to America and to food security and what the world's going to need for food and energy in the next 20, 30 years.
Another important issue that we have on the plate is the TTIP negotiations, which started last week. Biotech, a big part of that. What do you think about the first round of the negotiations, and what do you think about the potential for this trade negotiations for corn growers?
We're really excited. You know, we know that trade's our future. We know that 95% of the world's population lives outside the United States. So that being said, what does that mean to us? I was fortunate enough to give testimony at the House Subcommittee on Trade and talked about that agriculture had to be in the discussions, and that nothing was agreed to until everything is agreed to. So these decisions about why biotech is important and why we need to get these trade agreements done, very important to us as corn growers.
All right, and finally, you had the new board members come in and your new first vice president. Tell us a little bit about who's going to be representing corn growers on the NCGA board now.
Always excited to get the next round of people in, as those of us have been in for a while that, you know, it's inevitable our time's going to be finite. So really thankful that there are people to step up to the plate. Looking forward to continuing to work with our new first vice president, Chip Bowling from Maryland. He gave testimony in the House on the farm bill last year, so he's able to step right in and hit the ground running. Martin Barbary, of course, will be the new incoming president in October, and we just elected 5 new members today, so excited. On Friday, we will welcome them aboard and get to work.
Interesting that Chip is really outside the traditional Corn Belt. What do you think that'll mean for the leadership to have someone from the Eastern Seaboard, basically, in the corn grower leadership?
I think it'll be really great because, as I said before, we're only 1% of the population, so we need to be talking to people outside the normal realm of who we talk to. And when I, as an Iowa corn grower, go and talk to only my Iowa delegation, it's like preaching to the choir. So having a diverse membership, a diverse leadership in national corn growers will allow us, I think, to build continue to build more alliances so that we can work together with a diverse population to explain to them about what we need, and then see also how we can step in and help them with their issues. And, you know, no matter where you live and who your constituents are, food issues are important to you. And, you know, as we've been saying, 1 in 12 jobs is directly tied back to agriculture. So I think it allows us to get better and get more diverse and create better alliances.
All right. Thank you very much, Pam Johnson, president of the National Corn Growers Association, a farmer from Iowa. I'm Cindy Zimmerman.